Big East, Elijah. Got hiccups. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So right in the middle of chapter 19, verse 28, we're picking up on, I had no plans on being here today. Absolutely none. And it was actually until Friday night. Work was crazy this week and really only preparing for the sermon beginning Friday. And it just dawned on me that this is the clothing Sunday. This is Palm Sunday. Clothing Sunday, what are you talking about? Well, people actually threw their outer garments on the road too. And Luke gives account for that. So there were palms. More popular to call it Palm Sunday. Not too many people say Clothing Sunday. But we're going to do that today because that's where we are in Luke. It's Clothing Sunday. And so you'll be casting. I brought some extra clothes here. So you'll be casting some clothes here. You can throw your own coat if you want. But it would be your outer garment, obviously. If it was anything else, it would be a golden calf, and that is in Genesis, and we already went over that. But this is something different. This is our holy Jesus coming through his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And that's what we're celebrating today. Palm Sunday or Clothing Sunday, whatever you want to call it, or both. Both were cast before him. That's a miracle in itself, to me, that we just landed here. We started Luke, does anybody remember? I think I was born, right? Somebody would say. It was actually before Asher was born. It was 2014. It was the last 2 days of 2014. It was 12/28 of 14.
14?
Yeah, 12 December 28th. So it was the last few days of 14. So we've been a whole year going into now 16. I had to look it up. To plan that, to land here at this time, is it's getting up there. It's the silver dollars in Texas kind of thing. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word today, God. Just open it up to us. Breathe upon us, Lord. Strengthen our feeble knees, Lord. And when he had thus spoken, he had just got done talking about a parable about the 10 talents or the 10 pounds. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. So from anywhere to Jerusalem, he just happened to be coming from Jericho with short little, my buddy Zacchaeus, and doing the healings and everything he did of the blind man. Coming through Jericho, staying with Zacchaeus, now heading up. Everything goes up to Jerusalem. It's an upward ascent, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he came near to Bethpage and Bethany, these would be the little hamlets around Jerusalem, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go you into the village over against you." Notice this, the two being sent out. That's important in ministry, if you can, and if all possible, to have somebody working with you. "Go ye into the village over against you, in which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, wherein yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, 'Why do you untie my little donkey?' thus shall ye say unto him, 'Because the Lord has need of him.'" God needs him. When people talk about the miracles of Jesus, you know, you talk about the walking on the water, that's a popular one. And the dividing of fishes and loaves and the healing of the lepers and raising Lazarus from the dead. Just those are the miracles that first come to mind, the powerful ones. And do you know the Quran actually has those miracles of Jesus in it? That blows my mind that they have all those miracles that Jesus did, even the raising of Lazarus from the dead. They have that in the Quran, yet they don't understand that he's the Messiah. That boggles my mind. But yet, what a great testimony, even from the opposing team, so to speak, that Jesus did these things. But here we have this little miracle that people don't talk about. Hey, did you hear the miracle about the donkey that got untied and the two disciples went and untied it? Did anybody ever tell you that? Probably not. But yet it's a great miracle. It really is. It's a fantastic miracle. That donkey was waiting there. This young donkey, never been ridden, never had a burden put on it. And this is really one of the three things that I could come up with anyway, that really that Jesus touched on this earth that nothing else had touched before. So Mary being his virgin birth, the first thing. And now this colt. Him entering into Jerusalem on a colt that had never been ridden. And when he dies and is buried, he's put in a tomb that has, no one has ever used. It was freshly cut out of the hewn out of the rocks. Interesting. But yet a great miracle. Jesus equipping them, telling them what to expect as they enter this town. There's going to be that colt there. And even preparing them to handle the situation as it comes up, what they're supposed to say. And they that went, the two of them, went their way and found even as he had said unto them. Have you ever had God speak to you and he's told you something, he's laid it on your heart, and then you get in that situation and it's like, man, it's like the puzzle pieces. It's like, this is so God. It is so him in this situation. And this is exactly what they encountered. It was like, okay, this is very obvious. That's the donkey. You know, it wasn't any question and going from one to the next. And as they were untying him, notice they didn't say anything to anybody. They didn't go up and say, you know what? Jesus told us, their obedience here is to the T. Jesus said, go untie it. And if they tell you, if they ask you, why do you unloose, then you can tell them. So beautiful obedience, a beautiful obedience to what Jesus said. I know if God has called me to go out and do things, and sometimes I feel like I got to explain and kind of, you know, butter people up or sugarcoat things and you know, and help Jesus out a little bit. Just simply give people the gospel and trust God and the things that he's told us to do. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof, as you would expect, said unto them, oh, what are you doing? There's an old joke. I don't say many jokes, especially corny ones, and this is both. Philadelphia had a really, it was a peak of the crime spree. I think it was in the 80s. It was really bad. And this one fella came out of his hotel and he saw his car kind of shaking a little bit. And he goes, what's going on with the car? And he goes around and he sees somebody's jacking it up. He's going to take his wheels off. And he goes, what are you doing? And the guy that's taking his wheels off said, hey, my buddy, don't worry about it. You can get the back wheels. I got the front. It was his car. All right. Corny jokes. Sorry. So untying this colt. Come on. Here we go. Untying this colt. The guy's like, what are you doing? You know, obviously we would ask that. Excuse me. And notice that they're still right in there with obedience. And they said, the Lord hath need of him. He said what they were supposed to say. There wasn't any argument here. There wasn't any kickback. It's like, what Lord? What are you talking about? What is truth? And all of this stuff. There wasn't anything. There was just, it just worked. It just simply worked. Anybody have any thoughts on that? Why this person would let it go without a fight? Something that did come to mind is Simeon and Anna that we started with a year and a quarter ago. The letter that Luke wrote here in the inspiration of God to the most excellent Theophilus. And this is a perfect account of what Jesus did, he said, most excellent Theophilus. And he goes into the birth of Christ. But as Jesus is being born, two characters pop up, Simeon and Anna. Remember them? No, Paul, it's been too long. Simeon waiting in the temple, Anna waiting to see their Lord, just to see their Lord. Just that they would see the Lord, just to have that brief holding of the Lord God, that baby Jesus. Can you imagine that being the pinnacle of your life? To hold baby Jesus. To me, that would be worth everything. That would be worth every struggle, everything that Simeon went through, that Anna went through. And Anna was full of years. You know, she had a hard life. There goes old Anna to the temple again. Man, but boy, her life, everything bloomed like spring to her. Everything melted away that would have become frozen as she held baby Jesus. But this donkey here and this owner, it makes me think of that. They're waiting for that moment. Could be. Don't know. So it's up to you to fill in the blank there and just to muse about that a little bit. 35. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt. So the disciples that were with Jesus, they put their own cloaks over the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. So it just continues. He's sitting on the clothes of the disciples, and people are throwing in his path. And this would be a sign of royalty. This would be a king entering in. You wouldn't do this to just anybody. You wouldn't throw your clothes before on the street for people to walk on. Now, a bride does that, of course, when she's married. You have the rice paper, whatever kind of paper it is, or gluten-free, of course, paper that is rolled out in the middle of aisle there. Why? Because what an honorable thing this bride is. Giving great honor to her. The father walking her down and, all of that. So Jesus, that's the same idea here, that his feet won't touch the ground and showing great honor there. Thinking about this, praying about this, and it's like, what's that really showing? What's happening there? They're removing their outer garment. That's the thing that is familiar with everyone in the world, what they are, what their identity is. Maybe some carpenters, maybe some fishermen, would be represented by their outer garb. And they would throw that before Jesus. So, that's what I thought of. And it's an act of worship. So putting whatever you identify with, I'm a computer technician and, whatever you put on your tax form there and at the bottom there. This is, what are you? Whatever that is, you put that on the path right now. So we're going to do that today. There's a special song. We did it last night during prayer meeting. And as that song plays, we're going to throw garments to the center there. And we're going to have a volunteer, if there's a couple of young volunteers, maybe one back there, I don't know how shy she is, but Owen too can just walk across the clothes, and they would represent the disciples and Jesus being in their midst. As they walk up and down, we'll be playing that music, casting the clothes to the center, and that's an act of worship, because we want to learn the Word of God. All right, not too crazy, not as bad as last week, right? Praise God. Try not to embarrass you guys too much. But it's a beautiful song, and the song really struck me this week because, there's not a whole lot of mountaintop experiences. There's a lot of valley. But praise God when the mountaintop is there. And Thursday morning, there was a mountaintop experience. Young man named Richard, and Maddie's been working with him and encouraging him to, to boldly talk about the gospel of God. Is this too bright? Turn some of this back. Some people are squinting. Maddie could fill in on the details of that. But he ended up thinking hopefully there's going to be a small group at the school. This is the first time sharing. And then more people came than ever. And man, just pop, just hit a home run. The Lord was with him. And it was powerful. He was teaching John 3:16. And you could tell there was such a powerful thing that happened when Mindy and Maddie came back to the house. That song started, and we just erupted and danced, and it was just like, wow, what's going on? God moved that morning. It was a mountaintop. We were rejoicing, dancing. Asher was dancing. It was fantastic. So praise God for those mountaintop. Help you through the valleys that are soon to come. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So we're going to do that. During this time, this is one of the three times that all the Jews would be going to Jerusalem. Three times during the year to pay homage, to go to Jerusalem. And they would be packing their bags, so Jerusalem would swell from maybe 500,000 to 600,000 to 3 million. Very busy. Everybody, you can imagine, very noisy. A lot of children, a lot of farm animals, and so forth and so on. So I brought a little bag. Of course, this is a standard Jewish issue baggage here. This is what they would be carrying. Israel tours. Okay, so save this one for later. Ah, the housewife should be part of the crowds that were around that were casting. What, this is what she is, you know. I'm gonna worship God. I'm gonna put that before the Lord. So, anybody want that one? Reach up for it. There we go. Husband and wife. Husband and wife, he and she. Hey, the he and she garage fell down. Remember where we used to walk in that?
Oh, yeah.
Used to say he and she, and he would park there, and he and she towel, and he and she. So maybe got. Now, I've got to get this one to you because this is your daddy's. Okay? This represents the soldiers that would have been around there. So, your dad would be on Indians. Praise God, this is for the rich person. Oh, look at that! Look at that! All right, this is for the, I don't know, a teenager. Kind of cool. Teenager, there you go. Okay. This is, I thought, yellow fishermen. They always have the fishermen. Oh, you want to go fishing? Okay. All right. That's cool. I don't know if I have enough for anybody. And this is, somebody's got to have an ugly sweater. They always do. All right. Keep going here. And finally, last but not least, the Marlboro man. Doesn't that look like him? He's got his Marlboro and he got the hat on. He's leaning against the fence. The guy never works. He just smokes cigarettes. Okay, so he's there too. Praise God. Sucks! Here the Marlboro man. All right, so all kinds of people, young and old, tall and short. Praise God. There they are, ready to show their worship to God. Keep in mind, these are many of the same people that would be saying, crucify him, and not too many days from here, because really, this is the kickoff of the Passion Week. The rest of Luke is it. This is it. This is Jesus' run to the cross. He's not going to leave Jerusalem anymore. He's in there. He's entering in, and that's it. He's going to the cross. So what a beautiful place to be on this clothing/Palm Sunday. So as they went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come near, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives at the base of the hill there, the whole multitude of disciples, so we had the 12 disciples or apostles, and then there was the multitude of disciples, quote unquote, that would follow him around. They wanted to see the fireworks. They wanted to see the cool things that Jesus did. So they were kind of on the fringe of things. The whole multitude of disciples, in verse 37, began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. Beautiful worship this morning, hearing that. Hearing everyone's loud voice. As they were going, laying their clothes down, verse 38 tells us, saying, blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. They didn't understand that this king, his throne would be on a cross, that his crown would be a crown of thorns. They didn't understand that. They're worshiping a king that would be taking over Rome. That's what's going on here. Blessed be the king that comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus will come again as that king, not riding a little donkey, but a stallion. Coming from heaven, riding on the cloud. So that's going to be quite an event. That will happen. They're just a little bit ahead of time here. A little bit ahead of time. They're not understanding this is the suffering Savior now. Some of the Pharisees in verse 39, from among the multitude, said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Everybody knows what rebuke means, right? Yell at them, scold them, tell them to knock it off. Why? Why? Because they're doing something that is an act of worship. They're recognizing this is the Messiah. Robe looks great on you. It's fantastic. So they're like, no way, wigging out here. Okay, the donkey's fine. He could ride in a donkey, no problem. But don't throw your clothes down like that. Don't call him king. Don't do all this stuff. And they recognized that he's a rabbi. Rabbis weren't too uncommon there, and rabbis would have disciples. Jesus wasn't the only one that had disciples following him. It was like a teacher at that time, and that's how you taught people. You didn't have schools per se. They would have this. They would have rabbis, and they would follow their teacher around. Disciples would follow them around. Verse 40, Jesus answers them this time. He answers them. I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Our job isn't to cut down trees as beavers do and build dams or make honey and, you know, go from flower to flower and gathering the nectar, then fanning it with our wings until it dries and condenses into honey. It isn't any of those things. It's to worship God. That's our greatest function and purpose, is to worship Him. He's saying, if you're not doing that, then something else created is. The rocks are going to. Interesting, in the schools today, they teach that is the origin of everything, is that we all came from a rock. The magic wand they hold is called a billion years. And you can touch anything with a billion years, and it can become something. You can touch that rock with a billion years, and it can become a banana. You can touch this rock over here with a billion years, and it become a human being. You can touch this one with DNA that has so much information in it, it can fill a whole volume of an encyclopedia of information. That's the magic wand they have today, replacing God. I tell you what, these stones in here, these stony hearts, are going to worship God. And it's taken place through the birth of the church, the giving of the Holy Spirit, the cleansing that took place as we sought Jesus and were forgiven of all our sins. He's cleansed us. He's filled us with His Holy Spirit. And these stones are crying out now. These stones have become alive. And it didn't take any magic wand of a billion years. It took a touch of the blood of Jesus. It took a filling of the Holy Spirit. And these stones have become alive. They are living. These old stony hearts have become flesh again. They've become circumcised. They've become cut open and raw before the living God. I tell you, if they held their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. There's a scandal going on with Google because there's a believer on the inside, I think. Because on their little thing that they have for the first day of spring, they show rocks with eyes that have come alive. So somebody was into this chapter. Let's keep going, man or woman. Praise God. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Jesus wept over it. There's a few times that Jesus cries. And this is one of them here. The other one was when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Very interesting that our Lord isn't mechanical, and it's like He knows everything that's going to happen. He knows everyone's thoughts. He knows all this, but that doesn't take away from who He is and the personality of our God and Savior, the emotions that are tied into it. So this brings us to your assignment that was given last Sunday. If you were reading this week, would have been Luke 17 interchanged with Psalm 42. Anybody have anything to share from that? This talks about tears too. Tear and tear are spelled the same. Tears are really the tears, the rips in the bulwark of our structure. That something's breaking through the dam. We have great reservoirs of emotion that are stored up. If there's a tear in that, something is broken through, then the water starts leaking through the cracks in the dam. That's what a tear is. If you're a scientist, it's a secretion of the lacrimal glands. What? It's a tear in your structure. It's leaking out your emotions. It's a powerful thing. Jesus wept. We weep. That's the idea here in Psalm 42. As the deer pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God, the thirst. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat, my food, day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I'm in Psalm 42. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Why is there something in me that's bothering me, that's irritated? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Folks, you need to take authority over those things. Your soul is disquieted, it's cast down, it's discouraged. Hope in God. Don't feed it. Don't let it snowball and keep building bigger. Tears are emotions, but emotions shouldn't run the day for you. Look what's happening here. Hope thou in God. He's being strengthened in the countenance of God. Praise him for the help of his countenance. That's just the countenance. That's just his presence. When someone smiles at you, what happens? Usually smile back. It was just the countenance of God. His presence there affects us. Oh my God. Verse 6 there. My soul is cast down within me. Don't ever read that. Oh my God, my soul is cast. That isn't life. That isn't our everyday experience. This is your everyday experience. Oh my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill of Mizar. We don't understand those things typically. We understand the first part. Deep calls unto deep. Rock in the inner core of your life. The noise of thy waterspouts, all the waves and thy billows are gone over me. Just life is washing over you. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto God of my life. Unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me. While they say daily unto me, where is thy God? There is that doubt again. Like a little chihuahua. Yip, 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 yip. Little chihuahua there, nipping at, where is your God? Is he real? Is he really real? Where is thy God? Then he finishes off, he punches it through, he scores 3 points from the outside. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God! For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God, standing firm in God. Don't let your emotions, don't let the tears roll into these things that just wash you away. Stand in the countenance of God. Day and night, he's ministering to you. Day and night, hope thou in God. Your emotions don't run you anymore. It's the Spirit of God that cries within you. It says, Abba, Father, the Spirit that he's given you. You no longer have a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Hope thou in God. Jesus wept over the city, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this day, thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. This is a special day. His entrance into Jerusalem is what is spoken of in the Psalms. This morning, Owen got to do a little prophecy, because this is exactly what I was going to be talking on. This particular day, when it says, this day is the day of the Lord, this is the day I'll rejoice and be glad in it. It's talking about this day, his entrance into Jerusalem. It was prophesied in the Psalms through David, and it's happening now. This morning, as I was holding Owen, they like to get up very early before the sun does. And it's an explosion type of get up. So there's all sorts of full-on noise. There's drums going on. There's things falling over. There's all kinds of fun happening. So I got up to go in the fun there. I picked up Owen, who just runs to me, says, awesome, praise God. I grab a hold of him, and he said, yuck, Papa. God made it. God made today. Yuck, Papa. Doesn't say L yet. God made it. And he's pointing to the sun rising in the horizon there. This is a day that the Lord has made. We're going to celebrate Clothing Palm Sunday, and I want you to do it with all your might and strength and rejoice in Him. Just rejoice. Release unto the Lord your joy. Thank you, Lord God. Praise God. We're going to have communion next week, Resurrection Sunday, so I want you to be prepared for that. Reading Psalm 118, and that is the one that has, this is the day that the Lord has made. And Psalm 40. So interchange that. So two psalms. Terry prophesied Psalm 40 last night at prayer meeting. And that will be your challenge this week going into resurrection, preparing for communion. Last year, I think it was last year, I don't even remember anymore. There was a flower that was dead here. It was dead. I noticed it during worship. It was like, that thing's gone. It's completely, you know when something's gone. It didn't need a little perking up. And then through the end of the service, there the thing just totally came back to life. So it was one of those little miracles, but big at the same time. I'm looking for God to keep moving and doing things in each one of us. I think it's a sign of new life that He's bringing to all of us. So be in preparation this week. Psalm 118 and Psalm 40. Gretchen, you want to get that song ready? Is she gone? She run out the door looking for another church? So Owen and anybody else that is young could walk up and down the aisle. I invite you to have a mountaintop experience this morning, realizing that Jesus Christ loves you. Be prepared this week coming up. Be ready for Him. Draw close to Jesus this week. Be excited about His resurrection. I waited patiently upon the Lord. Praise God. And He inclined. I'll start off.
He pulled me up out of the miry clay.
You guys can walk up and down.
He set my feet upon the rock. He gave me beautiful ashes and joy for my morning and praise for heaviness. He put a new song in my mouth and a crown upon my head. He gave me life forevermore. It's been so good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
pick me up and turn me around and place my feet on the solid ground. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Cause he picked me up and he turned me around and he placed my feet on the solid ground. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Cause he picked me up and he turned me around and he placed my feet on the solid ground. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, so good, so, so good. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. Jesus, yeah, he's been. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. Jesus, yeah, he's been. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. Jesus, yeah. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. Jesus, now I got love, joy, peace, righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Oh, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah. I got love, joy, peace, righteousness in the Holy Spirit.
Don't be the frozen chosen. Come on, loosen up. Here we go.
So, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. Jesus, yeah. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. Jesus, yeah. So, so good. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. Jesus, yeah. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. So good, so, so good to me. Jesus, yeah. So good, so, so good to me.
Amen. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Good job, little guys. That donkey, such an important animal, waiting for Jesus. Such an important event. If you go from Genesis, go this way. And if you go from Revelation, go this way. And you find yourself at the middle, you find yourself right there. This is the day which the Lord has made, Psalm 119, in the direct center of the Bible. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. If you don't do the readings, at least cover that in your prayer before your feet hit the ground going forward. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for touching us this morning, for being present, for ministering to us. We pray for the one that is in need right now, Lord God. Reach and touch them, Lord Jesus Christ. Help us get excited about you and share you as we go forward. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Good job.